With a heart to reach all of Iowa and every nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ, KLM International is pleased to present this message. Pastors Kenny and Nija Linhart of the Cathedral have traveled all over the world proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, and we would like to thank our friends and partners for making this message available to you at no charge. If you would like to learn more about KLM International or its many ministries, including the Cathedral, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Once again, that's klmintl.com. And now, prepare to receive from God's Word.
Praise the Lord. We're just going to begin this morning in our series for the year, and it's not the entire year, but it's really something that God has on my heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to begin in verse 11. Praise the Lord. Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade others. Say persuade.
Persuade.
What we are is plain to God. And I hope it is also plain to your conscience. What we are is plain to God. He didn't look at you and wonder, well, you know, what is she? Is she Mexican? Is she black? Is she Italian? Is she Swedish? God knows exactly what you are, but he's not talking about natural here, okay? I heard one of my favorite speakers the other day says, you know, he doesn't look at himself by race first. He looks at himself, he's a son of Abraham. And I thought, my goodness, I don't look at myself as a son of Abraham first. I look at myself as a son of God. See, our reality of who you are in Christ Jesus, male or female, no matter what race, no matter what gender, I did not say sexual preference, I said gender. You got it? All right, praise the Lord, because we don't want to mess around with that. That God knows exactly what you are. And the whole concept of Christianity is getting you to know exactly who you are. And that's not according to your perception or information other people have given you, but according to the Word of God. Psalms 119 says that the Word of God, the entrance of God's Word brings what? It brings light. And your spirit is a candle unto the Lord. It's the way that he leads you and he guides you. And listen, God takes his lamp, his light, and he lights your spirit with the Word of God. So if you're not in the Word of God on a regular basis, you're not going to know God like you should. You may know him in your head, but you won't know him in your spirit. And God knows you by your spirit. That's all throughout the New Testament. He knows your heart. He knows your spirit. He communicates to your spirit by his spirit. Are you with me? He knows exactly what you are. Now, the hard part is getting you to see, not with your natural eyes, but with your spiritual eyes, who you are. Come on. You are an eternal being created in the image of God, whether you're a man or a woman. He created us in his image. Can you say amen? And then he formed a body for Adam. He fashioned it. And when he breathed his spirit into him, Adam became a living soul. You are an eternal being. When you decide that you're going to get rid of your body, or when your body quits cooperating with you and it shuts down, do you cease to exist? No. Your spirit is led to one of two places. To be absent from the body for the Christian is to be present with the Lord. And what follows your spirit is going to be your soul. They're connected. Praise the Lord. God knows exactly what you are. It says in the Word of God that when you were born again, the old man was done away with. He was crucified. He was annihilated. Behold, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Is that what the Bible says? Now, it's easy to hear the words, but it's hard to get the perception, the revelation on the inside, that we truly are a new creation on the inside. Brand new. And if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we confess our sin. And what does he do? He's faithful, and He'll forgive us of our sin, and He'll cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So guess what? We're new again. Come on. That's the gospel. That's the good news. And religious people out there would say, well, you know what? You can't preach it because it's going to give somebody a license to sin. You know what? You don't need a license to sin. You do it anyway. You need a license to live according to righteousness. You need the ability, the strength, and the power that comes from the Spirit of God to live according to righteousness. And you'll never live like a righteous man if you think you're just your tendencies to sin. And the reason why you would believe that, the reason that you would receive that, not because the Word of God says so, but that is your perception. That is the vision you have of yourself. Vision doesn't take place inside the head of a man in his intellect. It's inspired inside of your spirit. And to allow your head, your mind, to catch up with the revelation that's in your spirit. Now that takes power. That's why the anointing, we're to take every thought captive according to the anointing, according to Christ. And we wash out this stuff. We examine each piece of our head with the Word of God, and we say, this doesn't belong or this does belong. God knows exactly what you are. What we are, everybody say we, is plain to God. And I hope it is also plain to you. Now, we're not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. Guys, if you take pride, I used to go to the gym a lot, and I'm going to go to the gym again this year a lot, but I used to take pride in what was seen. It's not stacked like it used to be, but I could probably get close. And I used to take pride in that. Too much pride. Back in this day, you know, the ones who became religious, the Jews that got born again, then they went back to the law and they said, okay, now what we have to do is you to conform on the outside to the law as if it were validating, come on, what happened on the inside. And he says, what you are on the inside, in the heart, that's plain to God. That's where you should, listen, if you deny what you are, you're a liar. And if you say you're not righteous, you know what? You're making God to be a liar. And this year, I'm telling you, the first quarter of this year, I know we are going to come to a place where you understand who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not what you're going to become, but what you already are, so you can start living out of the strength of God. T.L. Osborne was a friend of mine. He went on to be with the Lord. And I remember when I had him come to Des Moines, he said to the crowd, he said, it's time we stop living for the Lord and start living out of the Lord. By His strength, by His might, according to righteousness. Listen, righteousness is not so much a letter of the law or a document that you received. It's who you are. Because if righteousness were a level that you achieve, you'd never make it while you're in the flesh. But it's who you've been born. Let me give you a very simple, natural, and I'll refer to several times as we minister along these lines. Jesus was born again. Did you know that? Because on the cross He died. He was the first born again man. He was born out of death into eternal life. When He was quickened by the Spirit, when His body was raised from the dead, He was the first born again. He's the first among many brethren, is what the Word of God says. See, He's not only my Lord, He's my older brother. Because I've been born with the same Spirit that He's been born of. You need to wrap your head around that, because if you think you've been born of some generic, watered-down Des Moines version of the Holy Ghost, you're never going to do the works that God intends you to do. Am I hitting you too hard? Because I'm trying to warm you up for the series. Amen? When Jesus was born again from the dead, He was the first born-again man. And that old man, I don't know how to get this across to you, that old man whose righteousness was based on what he did was no longer there. He became the Messiah and the Christ and the Son of the living God. The old man was gone. Now, listen, when he rose from the dead, when he showed him his hands, do you know he still had holes in his hands? When he showed him his feet and his side, he still had those. They were there. And when you got born again, you still had that same nappy hairdo that you came in with. Somebody give me a laugh. When you got born again, if you had a bridge in the back, if you had false teeth, you still got false teeth. I mean, God could, you know, make them grow again. He could do, but your body was the same. So where is the new man? He's on the inside. Now, here's the kingdom of God. This is what he wants to release, is that new man on the inside begins to work its way out of you to change everything into the will of God in your life and around you. But if we can't see who we are on the inside, he ain't never getting out. Christianity and being born again is not about making it to heaven. If it were, the minute you receive Jesus, you'd drop over dead. Because that would be the intent of the Lord, to get you there. I've got news for you. When you were born again, you were raised with him and seated with him in heavenly realms. That's part of righteousness. You're already there, and you better start living out of it, because the world needs to see what a son of God looks like. Praise the Lord. Verse 12. Now let's go to verse 13. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we're in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Everybody say that. I will not regard anybody from a worldly point of view. Hey, let me give you the nasties about a worldly point of view. You look at somebody who has a backpack on their raggedy coat, and you automatically assume, because you're viewing them from a worldly point of view, that they're homeless. Come on. You look at somebody according to the color of their skin, and you automatically assume they're either well educated or they're not. That's a worldly point of view. You look at somebody who claims to be a Catholic, and you just, from a worldly point of view, you say they're not born again. You don't know what their experience with Jesus Christ is. You go to a gas station and you pay for your money, and the guy says, "Thank you very much." And you assume that she's a Muslim radical terrorist. Come on. You're viewing somebody from a worldly point of view. Everybody got that? We call it prejudice. Now, what this scripture is trying to bring across to us is you're not to view yourself that way any longer. Not according to your heritage, not according to who your mother or father was, or whether you had one, not according to whether you're a citizen of Afghanistan or the United States, not according to your education, not or lack of education, not according to your financial self, your worth. You are to view yourself in a supernatural way, not in a natural way. And here's the view that you need to adopt for yourself. You are a son, capital S-O-N, of the Most High God, whether you're male or female. In other words, you have the same rights as a female as a man has, because in Christ there is no difference between male or female. There's no difference if you're a Greek or a Jew. There's no difference if you were a slave man or a free man. Come on. You become the same in Christ. You're joined with him in heavenly realms. You become a co-heir and a joint heir with Jesus, equal share. You become the very righteousness of God. He has justified you just as if I'd never sinned. He justifies you, and then he makes you righteous when he breathes his spirit inside of you, when you bow your knee to him. But see, the problem is we don't view ourselves that way. We tend to view ourselves just, guys, we tend to view ourselves just like We tend to view ourselves just like we view other people. you critical old religious dog. That's what I used to be. I was very judgmental. I held everybody to a high level of standards and those kind of things. But you know what I really found out was I was holding myself to those things. I was trying to justify my righteousness by my behavior. And when I quit doing that to myself and I accepted the fact that I am the righteousness of God based on what He did, not on what I do. Come on. Then I was able to view other people as the righteousness of God in Christ. And all of us are at different levels of understanding that. See, your conduct and your behavior is modified through your perception. If you think you can't win, you'll never win. I'm serious. If you think you're a loser, you're always going to lose. If you think and you confess and you profess and you live your life like you're going to die early, like your family did, guess what? You're going to die early. But if you're going to live according to righteousness, then you've got to see yourself as the righteousness of God in Christ. And here's the great thing about it. People will like you better because you'll like other people more. You'll stop judging them according to a standard you can't live up to. See, the faults in other people are easy to see because we have them. And the faults that are greatest in our life are usually the ones, guys, that we judge everybody else by. We can recognize the faults in other people because we are intimately involved in them. In the same faults, the same weaknesses. So, see, when you come to the understanding, wow, every sin is common unto man. I mean, and we all deal with it in different measures. You may deal with things that I don't deal with anymore, but then I may deal with things that you haven't even been approached with yet. Do you understand what I'm saying? We're all at a different level of walking out our relationship with the Lord Jesus, but the thing that we all have in common is if we see ourselves as pure, as holy, as righteous, then guess what? Suddenly our conduct or the way that we live comes up. And God knows exactly what you are. And you know what? For so many people, I could just feel it. You guys just said to yourself, oh, shoot. He knows exactly what I am. Yes, He does. But He chooses to call you His righteousness. He chooses to look at you as pure and holy and cleansed. As a son or as a daughter. Now listen, if you understand that, you're not going to go jump into sin because you realize you're taking God into sin. You see how the perception of what you receive by revelation will change how you act? Praise the Lord. It'll change what you think. It'll change what you say. It'll change what you do. Verse 16. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though once we regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here. Everybody say, the new is here.
New is
here. Say, I is new.
I is new.
Yes, I am. Now, guys, His mercy, this is what's cool. There's a 24-hour reset on your righteousness. Every 24 hours, God, through His mercy, resets your righteousness. Let me say that again. God put a reset button on you that every 24 hours gets reset to where your righteousness is renewed in his perception. How's that so? Because the Bible says His mercy is new every morning. It didn't say His mercy is renewed every morning. His mercy is new every morning. And when you have faith in that, wow, you suddenly can start. You can get up in the morning and say, man, I really messed up Tuesday night, but thank God Wednesday morning's on the way. See, and God did that so you could be purged of guilt. Yes. and shame and feelings of not being good enough. Because you'll never be as good as Jesus was until you are like him. And that won't happen until you see him. Because when you see him, you'll be changed in an instant where your immortality, your mortality is swallowed up in immortality. The very life of God that is in you will envelop you. And then you could walk as Jesus walks. But now we have to receive it by faith. And I'm giving you a point in time that you can receive it by faith. I don't know if you knew this, but the Word of God tells you you're not allowed to be angry overnight. Did you know that? You're not to put your head on the pillow when you're angry. Now, how many of you put your head on the pillow angry before? And you went to bed angry, and then you woke up angry. Listen, you're going to miss it. I mean, that's kind of a timetable for me. I have not gone to bed angry in probably 14, 15 years. Now, I'm not saying the same is true with Pastor Nija, but it's true with me. And you know what? It's hard to sleep when she's angry. I go lock up my guns and lock up. No, she doesn't get that angry. Hide the butcher knives. Praise the Lord. No, she really, I mean, probably twice or three times since we've been married, she's literally gone to bed angry. And then she knows, you know, she knows. But even if you do that, you guys, if you had faith that God's word is true, that his mercy towards you is new every morning, then see, you get a start new. Every 24, you have the opportunity to approach the day. Every 24 hours, you have the opportunity to start brand new. And for those of you guys who are under 40, you may have a mentality that is very damaging to Christianity because you grew up with video games and computer games. And you get to a certain point and you have to start over when you mess up. You mess up three times, you got to go all the way back to the next level. You know, even though you spent 30, 40 minutes trying to, 50 minutes, sometimes hours, getting to that next place, if you just don't cross that line, what happens to you? You got to do all that work all over again. It isn't that way in God. Because his mercies are new every morning. And you can start living according to righteousness. It's not based on what you do or how you perform or how you play. Guys, that's what faith is all about. It's based on what Jesus did. The Word of God says that the glory, come on, glory of the latter house will exceed the glory of the former, meaning that who we are will excel and exceed. You can think about the temple, yes. David put away things. He built a tabernacle, and David and his son Solomon built the temple. And you could think it was about that, but you know, there is not a temple on the mound in the Holy of Holies today. There's a mosque. But the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians that you're a temple of the Holy Spirit. You're a temple of God. Don't you know that God lives in you? And God lived inside of Adam. You know what the glory is? The weightiness, the heaviness. God living inside of Adam was based on Adam's conduct. If he messed up, it was over. Wah, wah, wah. God living inside of you is not based on your conduct. It's based on his conduct. It's based on what he did. Not what he's going to do. What he did. And then see, with that kind of an attitude, that kind of a revelation, now I can begin to live unto God. And if the devil succeeds at getting me to feel guilty or to feel shame, because those things will affect your ability to utilize the power of God within you, those things will affect your faith, those things will affect your inheritance, or let's say your ability to utilize or grab a hold of what God has already got for you. Because God ain't got nothing new for you. Because before the foundation of the world, he prepared in advance for you good works for you to do. Everything that he's going to do for you, he's already done. I know that's hard to understand, but you're just thinking sequentially. You're thinking along your natural human thinking. See, time doesn't exist for God. You may not have received what he's already done for you, but he's already done it. Does that mean he doesn't care? Absolutely not. He cares so much he went ahead of you, before you, and prepared things for you.
Amen.
Places, people, friendships, relationships. And he said, now if they can't receive it, here's what I'm going to do. I'm putting this reset button that every time the sun goes down and every time the sun comes up, my mercies will be new for them. I will look at them pure and holy and perfect again. That's how much he cares for you. It is so hard to receive if you don't have a reset button of your own for other people. See, faith works by love. And if you're not walking in love and forgiveness, and you know what forgiveness means? It means to forgive, which if you were to forbear or foretell, you would tell something before it happened. You would bear the burden of something before the other person had it, was responsible for it, to forbear. To foreloose, you go ahead and you loose something before it knows it's captive. To forgive, you go in advance and you give. You give before somebody deserves it. This is good preaching. It's good teaching. See, we are the righteousness of God in Christ. It doesn't matter how you feel. How you feel will affect how you receive it. How you feel will affect how you receive it. Not whether or not God's going to give it, because he already gave. That's good preaching. So the Word of God brings entrance. The Word of God into my life, the Word of God going in you right now, is sparking, it's connecting with your candle, the lamp of the Lord, your human spirit. And on the inside you're going, oh, yeah. But your head's going, mm-mm. That's not the way they taught me back at the Baptist church. That's not the way they taught me in confirmation when I became a Lutheran. Well, maybe not. But I'm teaching you the Word of God. I'd like to be able to set it down into my human nature. The part of me that has been trained by this world system would like to be able to set it down to rules and regulations and laws so that I could know by what I do that I'm okay. And that I could know whether or not you're okay or not. But that's not the way God set it up. The righteous will live by
faith.
Not by
sight.
We're justified by faith, not by actions or deeds. For it is by grace that you are saved through faith, and this is not of yourself, but is a gift from God. And not by works of hands, so no man can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works which he prepared in advance for us to do. Simply, it's laid out right there. And that's what Martin Luther was killed for. Because he understood that. That's what religious men are persecuted for still today. Leaders, when they rise up and they start talking about grace and they start talking about mercy and they start talking about forgiveness and they start talking about righteousness, then the religious get riled because they don't like it, because they don't understand it. They want a rule, which is, if you hear religious, rule. Rule, religious. Give me a rule and I'm good. Why? Because I know nobody can take away what I earn. Give me a rule. If you show up 40 hours, we'll give you $400. You give me a rule, then nobody can take away my $400. But if God gives me out of grace and mercy $400, how do I know he won't take it away? Huh? That's faith. If God forgives me and I don't earn the forgiveness, then how do I know it's really mine? That's faith. If I walk out righteousness and I do it according to the letter of the law, I know I've attained that position and nobody can take it away. Am I helping you? But if God gives it to me by grace and I receive it by faith, how do I know my faith is good enough? Somebody might take it away. No. See, your faith is all wrong. It's heavy on the God side. It's weak on the man side. Can you say amen? They don't preach like this down south, do they? Faith. In righteousness. Verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself. Well, that's a lot of preaching right there. Who reconciled us to himself in Christ. There are men in this city who are standing behind a pulpit that would like to mark out with, they call those permanent markers? Yeah, they'd like to take a Sharpie and mark this next section out. Not counting people's sins against them. Guys, that's Bible. And it says in the book of Psalms, blessed is the man who God does not reckon their sins. That God chooses not to remember or record their sins. Do you understand that God, once you've been born again, your little erase board in heaven with the 1, 2, 3 marks, and you get the fifth one, go to the principal's office, you get 10 and an angel thumps you, you get 15 and the curse of the law falls down on you, you get 20 and you're going to hell. You understand that's gone? But for some reason, he keeps the one where you get the little stars up on the board. And when you get 3, you get one of them stars to stick on your forehead when you go home to show your mom and dad. He still does that. Because all the promises in God are what? Yes and amen. On the cross, Jesus became a curse for us. Why? So that we could receive the blessing. We could receive the promise. And we do that not by action. Does that mean that you can go out and live like a harlot? No, because see, you got this thing called your conscience, and it is going to fight you. And you got something else now called the Holy Ghost, and you're not going to have peace on the inside. And you won't be able to access anything from God living in sin, because He put His Spirit in you to compel you to live righteously. That's why we want to live unto righteousness. We want to live out of righteousness. We want to live according to Christ. We want to be led so that we can get in line with what God has already done and receive it and walk in it and begin to transform this city, this state, and the nations. You guys won't be able to help Pastor do that if you think you're an old slimy worm. That's no good, and God can't accept until you die and go to heaven. He's accepted you already. And I don't get it because I'm not like Him yet. I'm not going to go there, but I don't get it how He can look at you and look at me as if yesterday's mistakes never happened. But He can. So why do you confess your sin? You know, that's your 24-hour time clock so you can walk in righteousness. And so He can cleanse you of any guilt or feelings, of cleanse you of unrighteousness. God loves you, man. He's pleased with you. He's not waiting till you get all your ducks in a row so He can bless you. He's already blessed you. He's not waiting till you make it 16 days in a row reading your devotions every morning before He can bless you. He's already blessed you. And so when you understand that, guess what I want to do? I want to read my devotions every day to find out what He's already done for me. And to kick out the junk in my head that does not belong. Praise the Lord. I want to live according to righteousness. He hasn't prepared bad works for me to do. He's prepared good works for me. All the gifts that are good come down from the Father who lives in the heavenly lights, the Word of God says. Here's where we've been trying to get. Verse 19 and 20. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And He has committed, everybody say committed, to us the message of reconciliation. Put your finger there and go to Matthew chapter 9. Say committed. I love the Lord. And I pray that in 2014 I can love other people like He loves me. Amen. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 9 and we're going to begin in verse 35. Jesus has not ascended to the Father yet. He hasn't even been crucified at this point. He's with His disciples. He's up on a hill. He's looking out. You know, He's had the signs and the wonders and the miracles. And so people are beginning to follow Him. Have you heard where Jesus is today? And you know, it's like if they could tweet, they'd be tweeting, Jesus is up on the hill, Jesus is at the Sea of Galilee, where's Jesus today? And that's what they'd be tweeting. Are they still tweeting? Am I saying it right? All right. Praise the Lord. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. The difference between passion and compassion is compassion will move you to action. Passion just sometimes makes you get all knotted up on the inside. Praise the Lord. Jesus was moved with compassion because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And didn't you know he said, I will never leave you or forsake you? You're not in that state anymore. He turned to his disciples and he said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Last night we were watching a Disney movie called The Lone Ranger. And Johnny Depp was in it. He's kind of crazy. And they went into this Sin City. It was like a traveling city that followed the railroad. And you know, there was every kind of vice that the world would have to offer was in this traveling city, you know. And on the train coming to there was a group of Presbyterians. And they were singing hymns in the bus. And I was saying, oh man, that's the way the world looks at us sometimes. You know, and this guy who's not religious, you know, he gets up and he starts chasing the bad guy through the... He gets up out of the midst of the Presbyterians and chases the bad guy, you know, and knocks his teeth out and stuff like that. And I said to the kids, I stopped the movie, I said, you know what? I think Christians think they're supposed to be like those Presbyterians. And then there's other people that think they're supposed to be like that cowboy hero dude. I said, I think we're supposed to be like both. So you know what these Presbyterians did? They entered in Sin City trying to get new converts. They went and preaching that... All you all are sinning. Hey, hell is going to take you. Manifest, you're nothing but a demon. There are demons here. You're sinning. Repent, repent. That's not the ministry of reconciliation. That's the ministry of a fool. Come on. You get more flies to come to the honey than you do vinegar. The message is not you're a sinner, clean up. Because whether you like it or not, you probably already... I mean, if you were going to judge yourself by them same rules, you're still a sinner. The Bible says a dog returns to its vomit. Do you know what I mean? Anybody ever seen that? Yuck. That's disgusting. But that's its nature. And until the dog is no longer a dog, it's going to return to its vomit. Does anybody need me to draw out what that means? Okay. A pig is going to be a pig. As long as it's a pig. You can take the pig out. I used to work with pigs and sheep and hogs and pigs. Same thing. And calves and steers and heifers. And you can take a pig out of the lot. And you can clean him up, get his skin nice and pink, paint its toenails red, put a gold loop in its nose, play with it on the inside and potty train it. You can call it a dog. You can call it a poodle. You can call it whatever you want, but you let it outside, it's going to go right for the mud again. Because it's still a pig, no matter what, how you dress it up. That old man's dead, guys. He isn't coming back. He's dead. The guys out on the street that are smoking crack, putting needles in their arms still, going from one prostitute to another, the gals that are selling her bodies, the guy that's dressed up like a girl, dancing for other guys, they're sinners. And you tell them they're a sinner ain't going to help them. You need to get their nature changed. I wouldn't want to go to a church and everybody say, you know what? You got to clean up before you come in. No, come in dirty. We'll help you. We got to remember, people don't clean up at the same rate. It comes by the entrance of God's Word. But if you scare them out of the church before they're walking at your level of righteousness, The only person that's going to be there is you and your Aunt Belzy. That's it. And Aunt Belzy's going to think you're half twisted. Am I helping you? So we got to get their nature changed with the gospel message. That yes, we're all sinners, but if you receive Jesus, He'll change your nature. He'll put something on the inside of you where you fight yourself to sin. And we'll help you understand what that feels like. To live according to the Spirit of God. We'll instruct you in the Word. We don't expect you to look different overnight. Yes, there are some things that are miraculous at the altar where people are transformed immediately and the miraculous happen. But you know what? For most of it, it was it was sequential. There was a lot of time that had to take place. I mean, my first sermon that I gave, I said words I shouldn't have said. Can you imagine that? All the elders came up. I thought it was good. And all the elders came up in the church and they started pointing their fingers saying, you can't say what? I said, say what? And they told me. I said, well, point taken 20 years later. And Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into His harvest field. Now go back to 2 Corinthians, please. Chapter 5, verse 20. We, therefore, are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. It's not having, painting John 3:16 and having a rainbow hairdo is going to get people to the Lord. I mean, maybe one or two, but three maybe. I don't know. It's not going out there with a sign that says, repent, the end is coming. We had to run those guys off when we first opened the church. We did. There may be a place to spark intellectual conversation through debate by standing up on a rock and telling people to repent, but you never saw Jesus do that. You never saw. The only person you saw do that was John the Baptist, and he was before our time. He was preparing the way for the kingdom of God. He was preaching repentance. Jesus never preached repentance. We were told to repent. And he said he would send the Holy Spirit, come on, to convict us of our sin, and you don't need to help the Holy Ghost. The reason that the world is not in the church is because they're already convicted. To them, your faith smells like judgment. And it should smell like freedom and liberty. We're Christ's ambassadors. We're not His enforcers. We are representing the kingdom of grace and mercy and peace and forgiveness and love and strength. We're not representing, trying to enforce a law that they haven't received. Praise the Lord. Is that good? And you got to get out of your head if you lean too far into thinking about grace that you're going to sin. You're already sinning. And all the religious people said, amen. You guys are sharp. You're bright. Verse 21. Here's what we preach. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. He who knew no sin was made. That already happened, guys, on the cross. Jesus is not sin anymore. He is the Christ, the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You are, if you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, you are righteous. It's not what I am becoming, it's what I was born into. It's what I was born by. It is a new way of living, at looking at myself, at looking at the Father, at looking at the distance between heaven and myself. It's a new way of looking at the Word. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. How dare you say that? I didn't, He did. And we shouldn't have to spend our days 2,000 years later trying to get you to become, to understand and to receive and be reconciled to God, reconciled in your head that you are righteous. But that's what we have to do. First Peter. Can you go there? Praise the Lord. Can you say this with me? I am the righteousness of God in Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. And this will give us a good place to stop, and we'll continue on somewhere Wednesday night. Verse 24, 1 Peter chapter 2, if you're there, say amen. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. That's a physical, tangible point in time. That's important, guys. It may not be important to God, but it's important to you. Just like every single morning his mercies are new, it's a physical, tangible point in time that cannot be denied. That's really important. Because without it, your head will go left, right, north, south, east, west. It'll drift everywhere. You need a point to tag this thing off, to tie it off. Like you tie off a boat in a river. You tie it off to a bank or you tie it off to an anchor so it doesn't drift too far. You need a physical point, a tangible point, where the reality of what God has done can be tied off to for you. Are you getting it? In his body, on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. And I'd like to stop there, but by his wounds we are healed. So, when do we live for righteousness? When we get to heaven? Right now. Not trying to get to a place of righteousness, you're already there. Well, I can't believe that. Well, you need to believe that you've received it by faith. Because if you can't see it in yourself, you'll never touch God like you're supposed to touch while you're on the earth. You'll never call heaven down, pray heaven down. You'll never transform the things around you because you can't even transform yourself. And it'll take the entrance of God's Word to cause a transformation to take place and to get rid of that system of do's and don'ts that you were helped to make up in your head that told you that you were good enough. You are good enough. You are good enough. Now, you don't qualify yourself for righteousness. He qualified you. Therefore, you can't earn it. And if you can't earn it, here's the benefit. You can't lose it. Because the gifts of God are what? Without repentance, they're irrevocable. In other words, God's not, you can't say anything anymore. God's not, as they said in this movie, an Indian giver. He's not an Indian giver. He's not going to give and then take it back. He's not going to give and then take it back. He doesn't change his mind. When was Jesus crucified on the cross? Well, 2,000 years ago, but in his mind before the foundation of the world. That's why we're to have the faith of Abraham, because Abraham saw his day. Praise the Lord. Go back to 2 Corinthians and we'll close on this part. Good preaching, guys. And we'll just go in the middle of 19. And he has committed thus the message of reconciliation. We therefore are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, therefore, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled unto God. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the message of reconciliation. Thank you for the gospel that brings hope and healing to the nations. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
We hope that you are blessed by the word today. The friends and partners of KLM International make these messages available absolutely free. If you would like to partner with KLM International, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Your gifts and partnership ensure that this ministry continues all over the world to win the lost and equip the body, as well as to help establish a campus in the heart of Iowa to transform this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Consider joining with KLM International today. Once again, our website is www.klmintl.com.